Well, we'll see what happens tonight. We're going to get very specific about just prayer. This is part two of a mature prayer life. And we're just going to look a little slower than we've done in the past at specific ways or the specific things that Paul prayed for other people. And you can come to your own conclusions. There's no way you can remember how he did all these things, I suppose. But if we look at this, maybe I'll put out a little folder, a little chart thing that tells here's what he prayed for when it comes to his people. And one of my things about this is the fact that if this is how Paul prayed for his people, specific requests or specific ways of things that he prayed for, then that also gave him some goals for his people to see. And if we as parents, like we as parents, no longer parenting, but those that are parents, see these things, these would be goals that they would have for their children. This is what we can pray for our children, for our family. And we can pray for our grandkids along those lines. We just don't have the influence that we kind of wish we had, but these are our prayers as such. And then, because those are our prayerful goals, then we would strive, obviously if we're always praying about things, we would strive to fulfill these things in their lives. Because you'd be praying for these things as compared to things or specific needs, and you can still pray for specific needs. You'll see that in here. Like we know that the Spirit intercedes for us, so we don't even know how to do this. But Paul does tell us to pray, and he gives us plenty of example to pray. He tells you specifically, like this morning, how to pray for your pastor, how to pray for a missionary that you know that's out there, or somebody that's trying to do something with the seed, even for your husband in a way, or for your friends or neighbors or whatever. And so that was filled in there. Now tonight, let's go to Romans 15. Let's just jump into this thing. See how many we can get without being fast about it. And seriously, I don't know how you remember these things. But these are things that Paul specifically mentioned when he prayed for his people. And we saw this morning also that Paul always prayed for them. He was always praying for his people or for people. Romans 15:13. Now, this doesn't specifically say the word prayer, but it shows the fact that this is what he wants his people to have. So naturally you would pray for this. We have some examples of that in here. 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do you pray for somebody along those lines? You pray that they would just have some joy. They would God is able to get through to them, so show them some things, and have that joy and peace because they say they're a believer. And you may know somebody who's struggling or having a hard time with things or whatever is going on. Okay, then pray for joy and peace for them. Now, how that come about? I don't know. But God would know. And are you going to tell God what to do? No. But Paul does tell us to pray for each other. So, here's an example. Joy and peace in believing. And then it says that abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We know people, not being in a judgmental fashion, you can hope somebody sees it with you and prays for you, that sometimes our hope is not through the power of the Holy Ghost in our scriptures and as a Christian. Sometimes our hope is because it's a fleshy hope. We want something to take place that would give me some encouragement. Quite often we don't realize it, but we're looking for signs. We're looking for something that shows that we're on the right track as compared to faith and believing. So, you know, pray for somebody that they would abound in hope, and it's the hope that God gives us. Not in their riches, not in their clothing, not in their education, not in their whatever they have that's given them a hope, but it's a false hope. And you may be aware of that, you may not be for people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So there was a couple right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe you'll even think of some people as we go through these things here tonight. We'll see here. He certainly had a lot of people to pray without ceasing for. How did he do this? If these are all the things that he talked about, he almost had to be in a constant state of prayer while he was going through his day. Well, that's exactly what he says, pray without ceasing. Maybe this has an awful lot to do with that manner of life that we're seeking. What is that specifically? Maybe it's in a constant prayer attitude or something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here it goes. I thank my God always on your behalf. Okay, so we can be thankful for that person, to God, on your behalf. For what? Well, for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. You can thank the Lord for the grace that that person has from God. God's given him grace too. And you can thank God for the grace that that person has received. I mean, that's what he says. For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, and here's why, that in everything ye are enriched by him. Okay? So, you're praying for somebody else to be enriched by God's grace, by God. What is enriched? Well, there's anything can happen in their lives, help them grow, help them get stronger, whatever. And then it says, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Okay? Are you being a busybody? Are you being a sneak and a snoop and a critical judge when you're praying for somebody that they would, through the grace of God, be enriched in what they say? Pray for how some people talk to other people or whatever. You can do that. In all knowledge, pray for the other person learning what they need to learn. It's okay. If you're not doing it in a bitter and arrogant, judgmental way, you know, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Then he goes on and says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, you know some people who have the testimony of Christ. You know what that would be, the Christ life and risen Christ and all the things we've learned here. Some people don't have that. Really, they don't have that yet. This person I mentioned to you this morning, I think I mentioned to you, maybe I didn't, this letter I got, I think I did, email about this guy that preached a message to some church people, and they just laughed at him and tore up notes and walked out on him and the whole thing. I found out this afternoon he was their pastor. I didn't even know that we had a pastor that's learning this stuff, trying to get it to his church people, and I didn't know this existed in our web family out there. And then when I was kind of asking him some questions, he sent me to his website. Well, he's the pastor there, so he's slowly trying to bring in Paul, and the whole church just went bonkers against it, which is usually what happens. You folks got to realize what happened here is unique, because I've learned in my personal life, my observation is that you can't bring Paul into an already existing church without causing damage. You can find people out there that learn about Paul and the whole thing about rightly dividing a risen Savior, and you can bring all these people together. I think you have a fantastic church. I really think you could pull together like we would have if all those folks that are out there were here. We would just be having everything you want in a church would be happening here. We'd be begging for fellowships. We'd be begging to get together. We'd be preaching, and they want more, and they'd show us some more, and they have some more. The guys would be up here preaching what they're learning. Jason would come up here. Hugh would come up here, and Clarence, he'd love to get up here and preach some stuff. He preaches to us over the telephone in our men's meetings here a couple of times. And we'd have what we really want as far as a church family. But in this day and age where churches are so off, and you bring in the rightly divided truth, you're just going to stir the mud. So really, you've done really well. You've done well with what we've gone through over these years. It's hard. We're missing some folks, and I just got my thoughts and fears, and that's life. But it's sad. We've hung in there pretty well. And I've always said, truth is what will scare us all away eventually. And it's too bad it does that. So here we have, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There are people that you know that are standing strong on Paul, supportive of what Paul teaches, and you know that. So if that's the case, then it says, so that you come behind in no gift. So here you've got this person that has a testimony of Christ in their life. They're trying to learn some things, and they understand these things. You pray that, he says, come behind in no gift. What gift are we talking about? What are the gifts? Well, we're not talking about the gifts in Corinthians. We're talking about the gifts in Romans. The gifts in Corinthians are speaking in tongues and all that stuff. The gifts in Romans are administration and ministerial and exhortation, that kind of stuff. And giving. You know. So yeah, you can pray that they don't, that as they're learning about Christ in their life, that they don't miss what is Christ going to have them to do and to be. There's something you can pray for people. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter... See, these are going to be hard to remember, but... this is what I'm calling a mature prayer life. And it's going to take a while. Take your time. Get it in. Pray without ceasing. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, he says, and our hope of you is... So he has this hope for these people. So naturally he would pray for this, I would assume. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings... Now, we stop there. We know some folks that are having a hard time with learning Paul, and like this pastor. The hit that he must... He said he felt like quitting. He just, I can't preach another message. I mean, it's like his people just slapped him and walked out on him, laughed at him. His people. And yet, he says also, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I mean, he'll see some victory here pretty soon with somebody somewhere. He may lose most of that church family and maintain one or two families or a couple of couples or a person or whatever that gets excited, and he'll also reap that, the consolation. He'll enjoy the comfort that comes back from what just happened. So there's how you pray for the man. Not that just all of his people come back. Why would we pray? Let's think about this, mature prayer. Why would you pray that everybody would come back? Just to be back. You want them to be back understanding what you're going to still preach. That's what you want. And sure, you want people to come back so they can hear what you're going to preach. Well, yeah, we'd like to have the whole town come over here to hear what we're going to preach. But are we going to change things so the whole town can come here so we can preach to them? No. So when people get upset like they do and pass notes back and forth and yacked and talked and laughed and left, you don't pray for them to come back. You pray for them somewhere out there to hear what was going on or the seed that was planted, that they think about what was planted, that when they come back, maybe they'll be willing to listen some more. Because the guy doesn't want any problems. You know, there's a lot of folks that have left, and I wouldn't want them to come back just to cause problems. I've been to other churches where folks have come back after leaving. Boy, the whole church is better off if they didn't come back. So how do you pray for this? Well, you pray for this pastor, and you pray for these people that they understand these things. Sometimes you got to pray for somebody, not for the request that they gave you, but you need to pray for their salvation or their Biblehood or their all sorts of things that you know that on a really mature prayer level, how to really pray for them. Those are the things that we learn. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now here's one of the big prayers that we've talked about, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Again, still, why do we do this when the Spirit of God is interceding for everybody? So what's the point? Because we don't even know how to pray. Well, we're told to. So if we're told to, here's how we do it by Paul's example. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so there's our clue. Here's what he prays. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory... Isn't that nice how Paul talks? I mean, he doesn't talk about God. He just says, or Jesus. He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, okay, and give unto you the revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's a good prayer. Don't you want somebody to get the wisdom of God? Don't you want somebody to have the knowledge of Christ revealed to them? Revelation of? Well, sure you do. There's a prayer for you right there. Now, do you have the spirit of wisdom? But your Bible does. And one of the things you'll notice, that many of the things that Paul preaches here are actually answered with our Bible. He's given us that spirit of wisdom today. How? In the Bible. In his day, how did God give the spirit of wisdom to somebody? In part. Isn't it hard sometimes to explain a verse to somebody, 1 Corinthians 13:10? But once you grasp that thing, there's so many other places that supports it. But you couldn't show those verses to somebody because they can't grab it in the first place. So here's a way for us to realize that, well, today, that prayer is answered by, he's given us the King James Bible. So you get into that Bible, and you can learn this wisdom. It's the spirit of wisdom. Now, in Paul's day, they had some of that wisdom. They have a Bible. And the revelation and the knowledge of Him, meaning Christ, Where else can you learn about the risen Savior but here? King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul. It's the only place you can find it. So there's how you pray for somebody. Knowing that you're praying for them to receive the Spirit of wisdom, well, hope they've got a Bible. That's why we give people Bibles. That's where they'll run across this stuff if they can get a hold of it. So what do we get the modern Christian say, the modern serious Bible Christian? What do they say? Well, God has given me the Spirit of wisdom. And I can tell you folks right now that none of you are capable of or qualified to be a pastor in your little church you're trying to get started. So you need to have me because I've got the Spirit of wisdom. We've heard stuff like that. That's what they'll talk. That's how they think about themselves. God has given us the Spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge in the knowledge of Him in this Bible, not to us like this. That'd be anointed. That doesn't come till the tribulation. Okay. So anyway, keeps going. Then he said he's praying now for it. You know that the. Now the next part is the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. But don't you want somebody to see what that Bible's trying to tell us? Haven't you tried to tell somebody something and they just didn't see it? They still can't see it? Well, here's what you pray for. Then he says in particular here, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe. According to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and to set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So there's things right in there to pray for your children. Pray for your teens. As they're going off into the world, they graduated. These are what we pray for our kids. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You might want to pray these things for your husband, for your wife, for your friends. They need to see. They need to understand the hope. They need to know his riches of the glory of his inheritance. And the greatness of and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Wow. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Okay, here's another one. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's going to pray it again here, some of his prayers, of whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Here's his prayer. He would grant you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Not the outward fake church face person, but the inner man. The inner person gets some strength here. Okay, keeps going. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How many people do you know that don't have Christ in their heart by faith? They're just religious. There's a way to put it. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, here's a prayer, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, don't you want your kids to learn that? That's what you want your kids to learn. To comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. What that really, truly means. There's that word comprehend. You know, the darkness just doesn't get the, can't comprehend the light. So maybe part of our challenge is the fact we've got so much darkness around that we let that light stay dark, whatever. That says there are being that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Have you been filled with the fullness of God? Well, we have. We've got the Spirit of God. But don't we still grow? All the things Paul would have us learn to grow, better judgment, all these things that he's praying for here, that we will grow as a Christian, we will mature as a Christian. That's something to pray for. Let's go to Philippians. Another one of the main prayers that we talk about here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Nothing really preached tonight about or whatever. Just we're looking at the specific things that Paul prayed for people. Okay, and this I pray, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. There you go. Now, I would think in lots of cases that would be the prayer of a wife to a husband. Because you want your husband to abound in knowledge and in judgment. You want your husband to finally make a couple good decisions because us men have been brought up not making the best decisions. We're kind of lazy, toy-playing kind of people. We've been duped. We've been weakened. We've had our strength taken away from us. So, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay? And it continues, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. A lot of wives like their husbands to be this way. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's how you'd want your husband to be. That's how you'd want your children to be as they grow up. Help them learn more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So someday when they actually leave the roost, or leave the barn as such, that they make the right decisions. Not just based on the world, but on what's true, on God, judgment. And they'll be able to prove things that are excellent. Probably do a better job than we did as parents. If they approve, they learn what's really wrong to do, and they can get a handle on it when we didn't as parents. Says that you may be sincere and without offense. So that's prayer for somebody right there. That's a prayer for all of us, that we all learn. Yeah, but pastor up there preaching and yelling, you're making me so mad about stuff, I'm going to go play that thing anyway. Well, then you need to grow up and realize it's wrong, but don't not do it just because the pastor says. Get over that kind of stuff. Is it the right thing to do? You know, make judgment calls like that. And we're growing. We're learning those things. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There we go. Get that off. Okay. Oh, hello up there. Wake up. There we go. Okay, let me read. Colossians chapter 1, right? Is that what I said? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Oh, here we go some more. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Of course you want your kids to get a hold of that. Knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where do you get this stuff? From your Bible. And so many folks out there think that God just gives it to them because they make good chocolate cakes or something. I don't know. They get this stuff. No, it's got to be in your Bible. Yes, you can learn it yourself, but you got to get it from your Bible. That's where that spiritual understanding is at. That's where wisdom is at. Keeps going. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's how you can pray for somebody. Not because you're making a decision that they're not walking worthy. Who are you to make that judgment call? But still, you can pray that for people. That's what He did. Being fruitful in every good work. That's good. Good work. Not just every work, but every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. From your Bible again. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I know people that's a need for them. Patience, long-suffering, and still have a joy. That's hard. Is that not hard, grandparents? That's a hard thing, even for parents. To have patience and long-suffering and still have joy. When you're watching what's going on. You pray for that for them. Pray for that for you. For yourself. You know? Giving thanks unto the Father. Well, there's one. Another one there for praying. Give thanks. What? He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He's made us meet. He's made us meet. He's made us able to be that partaker. It isn't because He's shown us how to do it. He has changed us so we can be meet for the partakers of that inheritance. We're capable of receiving that inheritance now. He's changed us. Okay, there you go. Thank Him for that. And if you know somebody you care about and they say that they're saved, well then, thank the Lord that they've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance too. Because you know they don't deserve it. Well, you know you don't deserve it either. So you thank Him for the fact that He's changed us so we can be. There's something there. It isn't just thanking Him for a good day and the lawnmower didn't break today. It's like, you know, thank you, Lord, for making me, remaking me and making me Your workmanship and making so I'm actually capable of receiving that inheritance. By You changing my soul, taking my soul away from my flesh. And you ever pray like that? That's maturity. That's growing more than just a quick prayer of do's and don'ts. I remember the first time I had to pray, just come back to me here, another one of those stories. First, real quick one. First time I had to pray in public for anything was in confirmation class. Those are always the winner, Lutheran confirmation class. And when it came to me, thank you for the clouds. I remember that. Thank you for the clouds, God. Because I used to watch clouds all the time in South Dakota. You get these big clouds. Remember all those clouds, Catherine? Just huge things. I thank him for the clouds because I enjoy looking at the clouds. Well, I was just a kid. Just a dumb, unsaved, probably not even lost, early kid kind of a thing, you know. We should go past that today. Let's look at another one here. Colossians 1, verse 25. Just jump down a couple of verses there to verse 25. This is Paul's ministry now. He says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make," and then here's the prayer thing. Now, isn't that amazing what we had to read through to get to that? I wanted to do that because I was talking with somebody again today, and he says, I can't read. How you remember I used to read 10 pages and 15? You want to get as much read as you can? And he said, "Brother, I have learned I can't read one verse without stopping and looking at all these words. They all have many sermons and teachings and meditating to go on, but all those different words. Look at what it took to get to that statement. What's the statement? That God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Well, what's that? Well, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's talking, that whole section right there, he's talking about how what this Paul teaching about the risen Savior. And he's praying that would be made known. The riches of the glory of this mystery, what's that? Of Christ in you, the risen Savior. The hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, what? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, how can that be? What's perfect? Complete. God's done. We know, I think it's Philippians chapter 1, where he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God's going to keep working on us until he actually comes back. Or we die, whichever. Still working on Lewis. Hasn't died yet. He's still working on Lewis, Marilyn, everybody as we get older. He's not done. He's not done at all. So there's how you pray. He says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Paul's still growing to be perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul still has some things to learn. Isn't that amazing? Okay, Colossians chapter 4. So we just pray for the growth for people to become perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal Christ has for all of us. And that's our works. That's the works that will burn in the judgment seat, knowing that the things that are imperfect will burn. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That what? Well, here's a prayer for somebody. That ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now, what better thing to pray for your kids than that? Than the will of God in their life. Well, we've come to realize that the will of God today is for the general will of God is to what? Is to realize the risen Savior and how to follow Paul. If they can learn that, then everything else will fall into place in due time. Might have to have a few crummy jobs. Might lose a few cows or two to mad cow disease or crazy cow disease where they come up with. They probably get... cow flu is probably the next on the line. Blame all the cows for that sort of a thing. And you go through the crummies of life. But you'll know how to handle the crummies of life because you're in God's will as far as how to follow Him and through the risen Savior. I imagine if you guys stay with that, Sam, that you'll run across some things that we never talked about. Boy, I bet you a pastor would have liked that one. And you see that kind of stuff in your time. So, yeah, that's a prayer that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? Boy, how do you expect me to remember all this stuff when you got at least 20 people in the church, 35 people in the church, 100 people out there, all these people that write to us, people I know of? Well, that's why we pray without ceasing. That's why TV and radio driving down the highway, not TV down the highway, but radio down the highway, and all this music is, you know, there was not music in your day and age everywhere like it is today. Isn't that amazing? You had so much peace and quiet in your days.
It was boring.
It was, you know, and when I read that stuff in the prairie, these ladies out in the prairie line, some of these folks went bonkers because it was so quiet. I mean, they just lost their mind. There's nothing out there but all the day long, all night long, all day, all night. And they really went nuts. Now what's happening? We filled that void with too much. You can't go anywhere there isn't music. You just can't get away from that stuff. So it takes your mind away from thinking. It takes your mind away from praying. Really. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. But there's a whole string of verses in there. Just want you to look at verse 3. He says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Then he goes on and he talks about it in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Don't you know people like that? There are people that they work at this. It's a work of faith. They're going by faith and they're just trusting God. Don't you know some people out there that have a labor of love? They really care. I mean, they really care. They may mess up, they may whatever, but they really care. They have a labor of love there, based on the Scriptures, of course. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Then it goes on and it talks about how these people have become a great testimony, been a good witness to these people. And it's based on the fact that they have a work of faith and a labor of love. And he says, remembering. So you pray for them because you know they're trying. They've got patience. They're working at it. They're trying to be the right kind of Christian. Then it goes on, talks about turning from idols to serve the living and true God and this sort of a thing. So it's there. It's a full story, full chapter there about it. Look at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, when he says in verse 23, I pray God your whole spirit, he's not really saying he's going to be praying for that. I pray God. But it's, to me, it still fits in for our desires because we want to pray where it says there, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Well, our soul is fine. Our spirit, we have His Spirit in us. And we know that the flesh, the body, has a problem. So we got to realize when we're praying for people that their body, their flesh, is still wretched. Stinky, smelly, sinful. That's just what it is. Anybody who claims otherwise to me is a liar. Our flesh today has been fed by everything we have in our house. We feed our flesh so much with feelings and self. The whole thing. It's beyond our understanding just how lousy our flesh is. And yet, 2 out of 3, he's got already fixed. And we just want for that third one to take place too. But you can pray for that for people. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11. Okay, so here's another one of his, we pray always for you. He says, wherefore, also we pray always for you. Okay, what do you pray for him? What are you praying here? Well, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Okay? And fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Not that we have the power of God. Don't go there with that. But it's the work of faith with power. And here's the conclusion. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That's a prayer. That God would be glorified in Sue. You think of somebody during the day. Chuck's at work. Well, pray that, Catherine, you pray for Chuck, that God be glorified in Chuck today. That he would say something or do something. He would be what he needs to be, and God would get the glory. Here's how you pray for people. But then it also says, and ye in him. And he says, according to the grace of our God. So our glory is only going to be because of God's grace. But did you notice those things? Count you worthy of this calling. It isn't because he's going to just say you're worthy, you've got to do something to be worthy of what it is God would have you to do that day. To fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, you have to know what God would have you to do that day that would be pleasing to Him. We learn that through Paul. And the work of faith with power. Just the fact that you have faith in this Bible really makes people mad. They say that they can prove through scholarship that this Bible isn't the Word of God. They say that they can prove through their writings about history that you're wrong. They say that they can show you this and they can show you manuscripts and the whole spiel. And yet all you got to say is, listen, I have faith that what God told me is true. And this book's been around for almost 400 years. I believe this to be the Word of God by faith. And they don't even know what to say. They just get mad. So that shows that your faith has some power there because you're going to stand on that faith. You're just not going to give in. Haven't you ever read something? Well, boy, that's interesting. Well, I didn't. Well, no, that's against the King James. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. And well, can you counterprove it or whatever that word? Can you prove that that's not true? No. But I don't believe that to be true. That's a lie. Somewhere somebody lied in history. If that demotes the King James Bible, then it's a lie. And if you can find some manuscripts out there that prove that Bible's not true, well, I don't care. There's manuscripts out there that support 300 different Bibles. I don't care. This is the Word of God, and I believe it by faith. And if you can't handle that, go ahead and choke. Because I can. And that's our power there. That faith is so strong because faith is believing on something you don't see. And people don't have faith anymore. They got to see it. We become very Jewish in our religion. And then lastly here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's how you pray for somebody. Verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, that just isn't men. That's people. The Bible uses men as, you know, okay. We do need prayers, though, because us men have been taken down pretty hard. For kings and for all that are in authority. What? Even him? Oh, yeah, even him. Because our goal is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. More than that, in all godliness and honesty. We can have lead a quiet and peaceable life, but we can do it pretty dishonestly and pretty wrong. We want to be able to do it right. We want our kids to know that we're living a quiet and peaceable life because of what's right. And so far, the leaders have allowed that in this country, but you know where that's going. I'm still biting at the bit to find out what this Bible study problem is down in San Diego. If you cannot have a home Bible study without a permit and an environmental impact statement and all this kind of stuff, man, I'm really bothered by that one. That one's going to be of course, that's California. Yeah, but that's also going to be Washington about 6 seconds later. Take a while to get to Ohio. I wonder. Anyway. So there are some things that you can pray for people, me, you, each other, people. Now let's go down here. Let's finish here with Ephesians chapter 3, and just to remind us that our Christian life is not based on our prayer, because if it would be, we wouldn't be where we are even today. We'd be a whole lot worse off. And I guess I should say that speaking for myself. Somebody else did tell me the other day that since they've gotten a hold of this stuff with Paul and rightly dividing, he says his thinker is constantly thinking what he's read and what he's trying to unlearn and what he's trying to make work in his life and the new things that he's seen. You know what I'm saying? He's picked up on this stuff and he can't quit thinking about it. It's obsessive in his mind, I suppose, in a way that he's just always thinking these things. You know, that does happen after a while. And so you just tie that all in with prayer. You're actually talking to God about what it is that He's shown you, and you're remembering what He's shown you, and you're talking back with Him, not talking back at Him, but you're talking with Him. And these things come along for other people. So we can really grow up in a fashion that we're just not used to at all. But there's something in Ephesians chapter 3 that we need to be reminded. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him, that be Christ, reading through the context there, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't it nice that our Christian life is not at the level of what we pray and ask for? Now people out there would start saying, well, I've been praying for a lot of things. Now we're talking about the spiritual blessings that Paul has taught us that the risen Christ has given us and how He'll guide us through our life. And he says here, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yet He still tells us to pray. So we do. And He's able to do more than that, according to the power that worketh in us. It's not a power that we have to manipulate people. It's just a power that's in us. So because of that power that's in us, Christ can even do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that ought to give us some kind of a joy a little bit. You know, maybe there's somebody here that does pray a lot because you've got the time and you're alone or something and you spend a lot of time praying. But He can do more than that. And He's able, and that power's in us. That not for us to do that, but that He's capable of doing above what we ask and think according to the power that worketh in us. And you just let that thing sink in a little bit. That's a pretty marvelous verse. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, the prayer thing is just He wants us to talk to Him. And He showed us through Paul's example how to do so. It's going to take some study on our part. If you want to be a mature Christian, you want to be a mature prayer, then be aware of these verses. Study them. Don't feel bad that you're going to sit down and kind of mechanicalize this thing at first. Find these verses that talk about this and then think of some people as you're reading through those verses. I was thinking today that, you know, we have prayer books, and people have prayer books, you have people's names and all the little things that's going on in their lives, that kind of a thing. And sometimes you go through the list and all this kind of stuff. It's like a Christmas list in some ways. But maybe a thought here is to take all these verses that we have here and you put people's names by those verses as you're aware of their needs are these things right here. The other way around. Here's how we're going to pray for people. Now, who do we put in there? Well, Paul says all people. Okay, then maybe someday you'll be good enough at praying that you can know all these verses and you can remember all these people and you can just think of it everywhere you go. But until then, find a way to put these verses into prayer. And one of the things that's hard to do is when you're a parent is to find time to pray because the kids are always there. Or there's just so much going on. Where do you find time to do something like this? Have you noticed that when you pray that sometimes it takes a while to even get into the depth of it all? Do you ever find yourself thinking about stupid things while you're praying? Do you ever find out how hard it is to get up after you've been down praying? Nobody says you have to get down, but Paul does kneel at one time. He's an example of him kneeling. There's so many things about prayer that when somebody asked the question that started this whole thought was, since I've realized Paul is and there's the Bible and the Spirit of God is going to intercede for us, and what's the point of praying? Well, the point of praying is God has told us to, and He's given us some very specific ways to pray for each other. And He can do more than that. But He still wants us to do that. So, there you have it.